So friends, the fourth Sunday of Easter is kind of informally known as Good Shepherd Sunday, because every year in the three-year cycle of readings, we always on this fourth Sunday of Easter read a portion of John's Gospel chapter 10, which is the Good Shepherd discourse. And so we're always sort of confronted with this image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, how he shepherds his flock, and how we listen to his voice. And I have to admit that my early image of shepherding was very much influenced by this movie that came out in 1995 called Babe. Have you seen this movie? Probably not, but I was like 11 when it came out, and I remember, so if you do the math, you can find out how old I am. But it's this pig who has this dream of shepherding sheep, like the dogs that do it, right? Sheep dogs who shepherd sheep, herd the sheep. This pig has this dream of wanting to shepherd sheep like the other sheep dogs. And so it's this really moving scene in which the pig finally, I was crying at 11 at the end of this movie. Right, but the image it leaves, of course, after the movie is that sheep are so unsophisticated that even a pig could herd them, right? But what's interesting is a lot of commentators say that in the ancient Near East, this is kind of a disingenuous view of sheep, that the bond that was established between shepherd and sheep was a real art form. And an incredibly close bond, right? That as Jesus alludes to in the gospel, that the sheep could actually recognize the shepherd's voice and distinguish it from other voices. In fact, it's said that if you mix and intermingle two different herds together and had the two different shepherds call out, that the sheep would immediately sort themselves according to the two different shepherds. And so this image that Jesus gives us, I want to talk about the familiarity of hearing his voice, right? And how important that is for our spiritual life. So the first is that just how do we cultivate being familiar with the Good Shepherd's voice? And I immediately thought about when I was growing up, this may not surprise you, but I have a big problem with waking up in the morning. I think recently been discovered that it seems I have maybe significant, you know, serious sleep apnea. But I'll have to set like 12 alarms at different places to try and get up. And this has always been the case in my life. In fact, my sleep doctor told me recently he doesn't think I really have slept for about 25 years, which is kind of scary, because if I actually slept, I might be able to get some things done. But anyway, in fact, I was looking in, they make these ones now, these alarm clocks that actually, when they go off, they actually start to fly. You seen these? And you have to take a Nerf gun off your bed, and you actually have to shoot it in order for it to shut off. It starts flying around your room. So my sister was going to buy me one of those for my birthday this year. Anyway, when I was in high school, I had the same problem, and I couldn't wake up, and so my mom started by, she would just pour a cup of water over my face every morning to wake me up. But then one day, I don't know, she didn't have access to water or something, but she just whispered my name into my ear. And I immediately woke up and propped up on my bed. And so from that day forward, I mean, it sounds like I was kind of a buffoon in high school. I couldn't wake up on my own. So my mom had to come in, and she would whisper my name into my ear, and I would wake up, right? And so I thought about that. She doesn't do that anymore if she doesn't live with me. That's why I need the 12 alarms. I thought about putting her voice on my alarm. Or I don't know if we can do that, like Alexa kind of thing, but with the alarm. But anyway, I was thinking about that because it was clearly the familiarity and right, the maternal communication bond, right, is well documented that that starting at about 23 weeks, it's said that the baby in the womb can dis- distinguish their mother's voice from other voices, right? So this familiarity of voice was something that I was thinking about. And so it raises the question for us, how do we develop that kind of familiarity with the voice of Jesus? And obviously, to use the same analogy, it's in the womb of prayer. Saint Mother Teresa said that it's in silence that we hear the voice of Jesus, because without silence, our heart is filled with so many noises that we have to cultivate some time to be able to hear the distinct, familiar voice of Jesus. It's something that we grow accustomed to by hearing it over and over again in prayer. And so to be able in prayer to spend some time to become accustomed to hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. The second point I want to make is that Jesus wants to hear our voice. Right? The reason he can know us by name, Jesus says, I call my sheep and they know me, and they know that I know them by name. One of the ways that Jesus knows us by name is because he can actually distinguish us from someone else. And the only way he can distinguish us from someone else is if we actually full-throatedly give him our voice. Tell him what's going on. I don't think we do this enough with Jesus. And so it's hard for him actually to distinguish us from other people when we don't share the intricacies and the complexities of my life with him as compared to someone else's. How much in prayer are we just brutally honest with God? To say, Lord, I'm really struggling with this. I'm struggling with this person. I don't know how to handle this situation. I am a mess, and I need your help big time to give voice to the deepest parts of our being with God. I want to use as an example, and you'll see it on the student page in the bulletin, we developed this programming over the summer for students a few years ago, because we realized a lot more students were in town for whether they live here or co-ops or things like this. And so we developed this thing called Faith Unfiltered. And all it is Wednesday nights during the summer, we invite students here, we do a dinner from 6 to 7. And then from 7 to 8, I choose some really controversial faith or moral topic. And I present just a couple minutes on it, kind of giving some parameters. And then we just have a circle, and everyone is invited to speak, but the rules are that no one can respond to anyone. No one can correct. No one can reference another person's comments. No one can even build off of another person's comments. Right? The goal is to give people a voice. Right? Sometimes we don't say what we want to say because we're worried about being corrected, worried about the smarter person in the room or the more talkative person in the room always overriding what we want to say. We're worried if maybe we haven't articulated ourselves perfectly, and so we're just afraid to say what we want to say. The whole goal of the model is that you just say your piece. You give voice to what's on your mind regarding this topic. And it just stands, just sits there. Right? It makes for some awkward moments for the students that have been a part of these, right? But it's just meant to stand, to give voice to what you think. Because often in giving voice to how we feel and what we think, right, we gain context and perspective and we hear it out. Sometimes we hear ourselves say something and we're like, that didn't make any sense at all. Maybe I need to rethink this. Or we hear somebody else speak and it connects with us, right? So we call it faith unfiltered. There's no filter. And I think we need to apply that to God. God can't know us by name if we're not ourselves to God. He can only know us personally and by name if we actually are ourselves to him, which means giving him everything in prayer and giving full-throated voice to everything that's on our heart. Right? That's how I think he knows us by name, and not as just some collective abstraction of humanity. He doesn't love us just collectively as humanity. He loves us personally, and he calls us by name. But we've got to give him the content of the personality that is that name. The third and final thought is, how do we distinguish the Good Shepherd's voice from the other voices in our lives? I was looking back, this homily 3 years ago was, of course, during the COVID shutdown. So this was one of like the 8 weeks where we didn't have public masses. So I was preaching to the live stream camera. And one of the things I was commenting at that time is how many voices we were being asked to listen to, right? Everybody was telling us something, right? And it was hard. It was really hard to distinguish everything we were hearing, right? But that's not just true of COVID. That's just true in general. I read some research that says that we all, the average American, hears 20 to 30,000 words a day. 20 to 30,000 words a day. And the question I think we're supposed to ask on this Good Shepherd Sunday is, how many of those words and noises and voices are saturated by the voice of the Good Shepherd? How much are we saturating ourselves with the Good Shepherd's voice, the life and teachings of Jesus, right? In contrast to all of the other voices. Many of them are good voices, right? I'm not saying that all voices are bad voices except for Jesus's, right? There's lots of good voices, maybe some bad voices, right? How do we make sure that the Good Shepherd is the default voice, the voice that is sort of the voice that encompasses all of the other voices? I want to give a shout out today to our students in the Christian Leadership Program. Just in a few minutes here, when I'm done gabbing up here, we're going to honor the ones who are being commissioned and graduating from the Christian Leadership Program. So many of them are here with us. Many of their families are here with us. So we thank you and welcome you. You who shepherded these young people for the first 18 years of their life, we're grateful you gave us some share in that shepherding over the last 4 years. But the whole point of that program is during your 4 college years to immerse yourself and saturate your life with the voice of the Good Shepherd, right? Whether that's through pastoral formation, spiritual formation, intellectual formation, social formation, to make sure that Jesus's voice reigns supreme of all of the various voices that we have access to in our lives. So friends, I invite us on this Good Shepherd Sunday to recommit to establishing some prayer life in which we give God a chance, the Good Shepherd a chance, to speak his voice into our hearts. I invite us to give our voice to God and to not be hesitant, to be brutally honest with him, for that is what distinguishes us from other people. And that's how he comes to know us personally by name. And I invite us to recommit to saturating our life, immersing ourselves in the life and teachings of Jesus, so that the voice of the Good Shepherd is the highest voice among all of the good and bad voices that we have access to. Let's entrust ourselves more fully to the Good Shepherd. For as St. Peter says at the end of the second reading today, he is the shepherd.